Well, the government's proposal to ban all prisoners from voting has sparked controversy due to its potential breach of human rights and disproportionate impact on Māori. Long-time prison advocate is Dr. Emi Rakete, who's with us for a Kōrero Law today. Emi, tēnā koe, and thanks for joining us again. Kia ora.
Yeah, kia ora. How's it going?
Good to hear from you
again.
Nice to talk with you again. So what are the main arguments that the government's provided in support of the proposed blanket ban on prisoner voting? And we'll share some observations and whakaro down that lane. So the government wants a blanket ban, seems to be going backwards.
Oh, absolutely. So we've already had a blanket ban passed on prisoners voting by the last national government. And those guys got told by every legal authority in the country that it was flagrantly illegal to do so. These guys have run out of ideas. They've been scraping the barrel of stuff that they tried and found didn't work last time. So they've made their way back around to this. But, I mean, they're bringing back free strikes. They're trying to bring back 90-day trials. They're bringing this back as well. It's kind of a bit of a return from the grave for all of these zombies that we thought we'd been done with by now.
In some of our commentary, there's been a suggestion. Well, has anyone spoken to the prison population about this? Have you spoken to anyone on the inside about this yourself, Emi?
No, I haven't yet. But there's something that Papa is really interested in doing, actually. A lot of the time, incarcerated people really get treated like blocks of wood to get shifted around. And this is worsened by New Zealand's really, really strict censorship regime in prisons. So I'm a lecturer at the University of Auckland in the criminology department. And for me, if I wanted to do research with people in prisons, I would have to apply to the Corrections Research Board, who give themselves the right to say yes or no to any research that gets done, but also the right to change or prohibit you from publishing your results if they don't like what you find. In addition to that, the Corrections Act prevents incarcerated people from speaking directly to media. So basically, it's a crime to report on what incarcerated people themselves say about these kinds of things, and it means that corrections get to be the only people with any say in these areas. But we know that incarcerated people care about this kind of stuff. Māori make up more than half of the prison population, and we care a lot about the nature of the state because the New Zealand state was founded against our opposition in the land wars. So I think that a lot of incarcerated people are really going to be upset about this move, and Papa is going to talk to them through our prison pen pal network, PCN, to find out what they want to do.
What recommendations did the 2023 Independent Electoral Review make regarding prisoner voting rights, and how do they contrast with the government's proposal?
So the Independent Commission didn't say that the government should strip voting rights from incarcerated people, but the Minister and Cabinet have decided to completely ignore that. They're also ignoring the Auckland High Court, the Supreme Court, and the Waitangi Tribunal, all of which unanimously agreed that banning incarcerated people from voting is a clear violation of the Bill of Rights. It's illegal. Now, everyone in prison having their right to vote taken away from them is there because they broke the law. But what we're seeing now is that the Crown doesn't consider itself to have to act in accordance with the law. So you start to wonder why we should if they don't see any need to do so.
Well, they've been penalised once by being incarcerated. And now again, now we know that the prison population is in the vicinity of 10,000. It might be more or less. Yeah, it's not a huge number. So when you consider how many people have the right to vote, and so it does at times feel like political grandstanding and, again, just perhaps tagging along with this tough-on-crime rhetoric that this coalition government is advancing. How much of this is about political point scoring rather than the rehabilitative needs of those on the inside?
I mean, it's absolutely posturing. And, Paul Goldsmith hasn't even tried to muster an argument in defence of this prison voting ban. Whenever he's asked about it, he just says, the last government was soft on crime, we're tough on crime, so we're going to ban voting. Why? He doesn't say. What is this going to achieve? He doesn't say. How is this going to help anyone or even kind of cause an effect of any kind? He doesn't say. Because this isn't a policy which is intended to do things in the world. This is a policy which is intended to get racist Facebook uncles mad about brown criminals so that they will vote for the coalition. And that's really all that this kind of move is for. We've seen a lot of stuff like this out of the government in the last year or so. And I think it's because there's not really an underlying politics here. ACT, New Zealand First and National, while they're all right-wing parties, they're all appealing to quite different fractions of the capitalist class in this country. And, you know, you can't really have ACT and New Zealand First in a room together and find that they agree on much. And so rather than trying to make like an incoherent political platform that encompasses all of these positions, the government's having to Frankenstein up some kind of base of opposition that its supporters can rally behind. And it's why we've seen these, you know, like bizarre, hysterical, anti-Māori politics. It's why we've seen these like really, really weird personal attacks on opposition MPs, Benjamin Cody, Chloe Swarbrick. It's why, like, I have been dragged through the mud a lot by, you know, ACT and ACT party fronts like the Free Speech Union in the last few months. All of this culture war stuff about transgender people, this is all being done in lieu of the government having to have actual politics, because for them at this point, politics is now impossible. So yes, this is a pointless policy. Of course, it's not going to help anyone. They're not trying to help anyone. They're trying to find something that will get racists upset so that they can get racists to vote for them. It's pretty grim stuff.
I often feel we need to hold a mirror up to ourselves as a people. If the population Māori is the majority within the prison system, and there are reasons for that, which you and I have delved into over the years, Emmy, but where's the commentary, where's the challenge, where is the disgust here from Māori interests, our tribal leaders remaining quiet while our people are being denied the right to vote?
Yeah, I think it's a real problem in Māori governance, and this is a thing that people have been talking about for a while now, and it's like writing about this in the 90s. You know, in the 1980s, we adopted this kind of corporate governance models for a lot of Māori interests, the idea being that this is how Pākehā most effectively organised politically, and so if we could organise in the same ways, then maybe we'd be able to do better for ourselves. And in some ways, that's worked. Some iwi have got pretty substantial financial holdings now, and some of those corporate structures, you know, are doing quite well for themselves. But a lot of those benefits haven't trickled down to Māori in the same way as most New Zealanders haven't benefited from New Zealand's corporations doing well for themselves either. I'm really interested in developing more bottom-up radical political organizations that are able to make use of mass political power. And that's something that PAPA tries to do, the group that I'm a part of, to varying degrees of success from time to time. But I think that what I'm really encouraged by is you know, movements like Fotu Te Tiriti, which have really been able to reach straight out to a lot of people and get them mobilized in ways that we haven't seen in a long time. At Waitangi, we've seen the reintroduction of the politics of a conflict in a way that there hasn't been for years. I stopped going to Waitangi because it was this choreographed kind of welcoming of the Crown, and then the Crown says how great everything is, and the Crown goes home and nobody's angry about anything. And the fact that our people live miserable, short, poor lives, that a handful of Pākehā can get very, very rich off of land that was stolen from us, has kind of vanished from the occasion. And Tuisi Tiriti has reintroduced the politics of anger and conflict to Waitangi in a way that I think can only be productive for our people. I hope that we can see more of this kind of politics coming in the future.
Well, certainly this issue is another to put in the barrel of discontent, frustration and disgust. I look forward to more action about it too from our own people. Always neat to have you on the program. Thanks very much for sharing some kōrero this morning, Emmy, and all the best going forward. Ngā mihi.
Yeah, cheers. Good to talk to you again.
Tēnā koe. Thank you. Dr. Emmy Irakete, who lectures in criminology.